Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nathan.
And today we are going to uncover the must-see destinations in Botswana for Christian adventurers. Now, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know it's normally just me on here, but we are blessed today to have a co-host, Nathan. Hey, Nathan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and one of your past trips?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah, for having me today. I'm just a Christian who loves to travel, and I've done a number of traveling trips. One of my most favorites was my recent trip to Glacier National Park, which is in Montana. Did a ton of hiking. It was really pretty up there, and I really enjoyed it.
Nice. You totally took a polar plunge while you were there, right?
Yeah, I got to swim out to the icebergs. Wouldn't recommend, but but it was worth it. Got some cool photos out of it. So.
Now, for those who don't understand, why would you not recommend doing a polar plunge like that?
Yeah, it was extremely cold. There's a reason it's called Glacier National Park. There's a lot of icebergs floating around. And then after I was done, I still had to walk all the way down the mountain, which is kind of uncomfortable, so that's probably why I wouldn't recommend it.
Valid. I assume by the time you got to the bottom, you had feeling in your toes again?
A little bit, but it took a while even after that.
Oh, goodness. We're so glad to have Nathan here, but let's go ahead and dive into Botswana. Nate, do you even know where Botswana is?
Not a ton. I know it's in Africa. Makes me think of the safari, but that's about it, honestly. Don't have a ton of previous knowledge.
That's valid, but luckily we've done some research to help you, our listeners, learn a little bit more. So Botswana is a landlocked country in southern Africa. It's bordered by South Africa, Namibia, Zimbabwe, and Zambia. Do you think I pronounced those right?
Probably.
We'll see. It is slightly larger than the state of Texas, and it's a semi-arid climate with savannas, deserts, and wetland ecosystems. The best time to visit is during their dry season, which lasts from November to May. And it has temperatures ranging from 40 degrees Fahrenheit to 90 degrees Fahrenheit during that time of the year. So that's quite a range. Nathan, with that initial information, what are your thoughts about Botswana?
Yeah, I'm surprised actually how big it is. I didn't think it was that big of a country, but you said it was bigger than Texas. So that's really something that's surprising to me just initially right off the bat.
Yes, I live in Tennessee, and so we totally have kind of a rainy and dry season, but when I think rainy and dry season, I think like super duper flooding, so I'm curious if it's absolutely crazy there or what. I don't know. If you've listened to any of our podcasts before, you know that I always like to introduce a country with a Bible verse because we're looking at God's fingerprints throughout creation. So Nathan has our Bible verse today.
Yeah, this comes from Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2. It says, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God."
This verse instantly makes me think of Botswana because of the unique wilderness, the safaris that we're going to get to go on, and you're going to have to stick around to hear our 5 tips for the best things to do in Botswana. So one of the things that I always like to do whenever introducing a country or beginning to plan for it is to begin to ponder things from a Christian perspective about the country. So we have a couple reflection questions for you for this episode. The first one is, Botswana's wildlife conservation efforts, they're pretty commendable. How does caring for God's creation in this way resonate with your own stewardship values and beliefs? And how does this reflect what God's calling us to in Genesis? Nate, do you have one?
Yeah, the reflection question that I have today is, considering Botswana's unique climate and seasonal changes, how might the rhythm of nature reflect God's faithfulness and provision in our lives?
Those are some good questions to get us started. Another one of the really important parts of visiting a country is to understand a little bit more about its history, its culture, and some of its religious aspects. So let's take a little bit of a closer look. Botswana's official language is English, although Setswana is the most widely spoken language there. In terms of religious influence, the country is 72% Christian and 27% indigenous religious groups, including Badimo, which is their additional most largest, I guess, religious group in the country.
Yeah, Christianity originally became to Botswana through a missionary called David Livingstone. As part of the London Missionary Society, this is a non-denominational organization dedicated to spreading the Christian faith to the non-European world. And one thing I think is interesting about this is, as I looked like at Botswana and I kind of researched the country a little bit, I found that a lot of times they mix like those Badimo cultures and things that they have in that religion with Christianity. And so I just thought that was something that was kind of interesting.
You're right. In fact, we're going to take a little bit closer look at what Badimo is or what they believe. So Badimo is actually ancestral worship, or a form of respecting one's ancestors. They believe that there are active, like the ancestors are active in their current daily life and tribes even after their death. So the term Badimo can be translated to ancestors, but it also refers to the living dead. Badimo are believed to stand in as an intercessory position between the living, Madimo, which is their term for the supreme being, and then they hold festivals to celebrate things like the first rain, making traditional beer, and cooking a beast, and then they go out into the hill country and present these things to their ancestors.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I had never known that.
Yeah, to me, especially as what you said earlier, that Christians combine these elements with their faith, to me this seems contradictory, because to me, if you're worshiping another being other than God, these are two different belief systems, and so it's definitely an interesting line to walk, especially as a traveler going to visit there. And then along those lines, so if you do get the opportunity to talk with someone, here are some things to talk to them about. So spiritual warfare, because while it's important for them to respect their cultural roots, there is a difference between worshiping God and worshiping other things. And so we need to go into conversations with them about their religion, being aware that they are in a form of spiritual warfare, even if they don't recognize it. And as such, we should go in with prayer, with understanding, and not as a criticism of the person, but aware of what Satan is doing, and aware that God is even greater. We should listen to what they have to say about their faith, their religion. Valuing family is so important, understanding how they believe that their family is a part of their lives even after someone has deceased, praying for them, etc.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's cool how they value their ancestors, but there's definitely a line there that you don't want to cross as a Christian in that value.
In addition to getting to talk to people about their faith and what they believe, there's also some things that, coming from a Western culture, it can be really hard to grasp or understand. So we want to give you some tools to better show respect to their culture and some of those cultural etiquette nuances, per se. Nathan, do you have a couple you'd like to share?
Sure, yeah. So one thing is that handshakes are common, but a soft rather than an extremely firm handshake is actually preferred there. And they have a culture of respecting their elders, as we've talked about previously. And so you want to greet the elders first. In addition, you want to dress modestly, especially in areas that are more rural, as those areas tend to be a little more conservative. And then one thing that I thought was interesting is that when you enter like a house, you want to put on room shoes, and that's to show respect. And that's something I thought was really interesting. You see that in other cultures as well, like in Asian cultures, they don't want you to wear your like outside shoes in the house. So that's something that I found was really interesting. In addition, direct eye contact for too long can be seen as confrontational, which is good for me because I don't love to hold eye contact with people for too long. So that's always a benefit. Another thing that's good for me is that events tend to start late. So you have to be a little patient. And so for those of us who tend to be late, in Botswana, that's not necessarily a problem, as events do tend to start late. In addition, it is considered unclean to eat with your left hand, so you are expected to eat with your right hand. And then finally, when you're visiting someone's home, it's expectation to bring a gift. And so if I ever moved to Botswana, I think I would have a lot of people visiting my home so I could get a lot of gifts.
Oh, man. I love the insight, and I love how you see your personality living out so well there.
Yeah, it seems awesome. Like the culture's lining very well with how I live.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so now the part that you've all been waiting for. We're going to take a closer look at five of the must-see places in Botswana if you get the opportunity to go. And the first one is called Okavango Delta. Okavango Delta. It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site and one of the world's largest inland deltas. It's a paradise for nature lovers, and it offers breathtaking landscapes, diverse wildlife, and unique water-based activities. Visitors can take guided safaris, boat trips, or even traditional mokoro. I assume that's motorbike rides to appreciate the rich biodiversity of this incredible ecosystem.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds like a really fun and cool place to visit. One place that I also think is interesting in Botswana is Chobe National Park. It's a park that's recognized for its animals. That's like I mentioned before, I think of safaris when I come to Botswana. Or when I think about Botswana. And so that's a place where you go on those safaris. They have a very dense elephant population, as well as other animals such as birds, elephants, lions, hippos, and those things. There's also boat tours that you can take there, which is really interesting. And if you're visiting nearby Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later, the largest waterfall in the world, it's a great trip because it's right there. And so that's something that I think would be really cool. It's not a place you can go and like hike about. It's actually, you're not allowed to hike in the park, but going on a safari would actually be something that is really cool in Chobe National Park.
I did not know that you could not hike there, but the boat tour version of seeing a safari, I'm all in. Next we have Magatigati pans are one of the largest salt pans in the world, which in some of our previous episodes we've been talking about salt pans, and I just want to go to one to take pictures because it's like a mirror. You're standing on top of a mirror and it just like reflects you so perfectly. But so it's one of the largest ones in the world. And visitors can explore the pans on guided tours, especially during the dry season when the vast expanse allows for unique activities like biking and stargazing or just taking a million pictures.
Yeah, tell me a little more about these salt pans. You say it reflects you. Is it like water, like a water type reflection, or how does that work?
I don't know the whole like chemistry or science behind it. It definitely is like, it almost looks like you're standing on water, but it is totally dry. It's like desert dry. And then just the way with the sun, it reflects you and it looks like you have a duplicate you running around on the salt.
Wow, that's really cool. I never knew that. So definitely something worth checking out.
Yeah.
All right. So the next place that I want to bring your attention to is Surilo Hills. It holds a special spiritual significance for the Sand People and is often referred to as the Louvre of the desert due to ancient rock paintings. This one you can hike in, actually. So there are hiking trails that lead to different rock art sites, which actually provides a very cool cultural and historical experience. And so I would encourage you, if you go there, to reflect on the connection between spirituality, art, and the natural environment as you check out some of those really cool paintings.
Absolutely. Even though that spirituality might have been worshiping something else, God definitely uses our art in such unique ways. He speaks through his creation, through the nature. He speaks through art. There's definitely a lot of lessons to be learned there.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least, if you're wanting the opportunity to get to connect with some of the locals, learn about some of those indigenous traditions, there are San Bushmen communities that will welcome you to teach you how to do things like hunting, gathering, and just some of their other traditional practices. So they are more than welcoming and would encourage you to learn more about their country and their heritage.
Yeah, so the San Bushmen community, how would you get to a place like that and interact with those people?
So there's just different tours and groups online. One of them is the Kalahari, is located in the Kalahari Desert. I'll have links in the description below with some of those further details. But they're more than willing to open up their home to you. Things like TripAdvisor, lists some of those opportunities too.
Awesome. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. And then, so as you're visiting these places, it's a great opportunity to reflect on God's creation, get to reflect on the diversity of cultures around the world. And then these are some things that you might consider doing to further your faith while in Botswana. You could attend an English-speaking worship service. We have links to itineraries and English-speaking services on our website, so head there for more details. You could pray with some of the locals, get to know them a little bit better, praise God while on a safari for his creation, for the unique animals that he created, or just join in some of the other local worship services praising his creation. So that's the majority of what we have for Botswana today. Nate, after hearing this, would you put Botswana on your itinerary list?
Yeah, I think I definitely would. I'm interested in seeing some of those safaris, some of those cool sites that you mentioned, and learning more about the people. I don't know if it'd be necessarily number one on my list, but definitely something that I'd want to see someday.
Yes. I'm kind of in the same boat. It's definitely intriguing, maybe not my personal top choice, but I have really enjoyed getting to learn a little bit more about it. And for those of you that have tuned in today, if you're wanting to find others to go to Botswana with, or to join in some of our upcoming trips like Beach and Bible Study, Immortal Rock Fest, or we even have a women's retreat hosted by some of the members on our site, specifically Kenzie from Kansas, You can go to christiantravelers.net to sign up and learn more. We also have unique communities who get together regularly to do fun events like backpacking in Australia, Ireland, Central America. We have some people that travel for concerts, RVing, etc. So make sure to check that out. And if you have any questions for me or for Nathan, you can email us at hello@christiantravelers.net. Nate, do you have any other thoughts that you would like to add?
Just want to mention those seem like great opportunities, something worth checking out. So I would definitely look into that.
Well, Christian Travelers, thank you so much for tuning in today. Let's go ahead and close this episode out with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the many unique countries that you've created around the world. Lord, we just ask that you be with the locals, that you help them with political stability, with leadership, with education, that your name may be known. And for any travelers that are going there, that they may be encouraged and be able to see your fingerprints in their adventures. In your name we pray, amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today, and until next time, safe travels and God bless.